and Bob.
Okay, so we're going to do tefillah today. Might be one time, might be two times. Not to repeat, but just continue. So I guess the first question may be, what is tefillah? What are you doing? What is it? What's going on? What would you say tefillah is? How would you describe tefillah?
Tefillah is, in my opinion, a conversation or the communication that we as Jews can speak to Hashem. Whether it's requests, I think it's majority just, it's like an organized way. That's the way I see it.
Okay.
I think there's more to it, but I think it's more of like an organized way to praise and thank Hashem for everything we have. And then there is a bit of like also requesting, but yeah, it's organized communication between us and Hashem.
Okay. I think you said a lot there. I don't know if you realize you said a lot. The praise, you said thanking, and you said requesting. So that happens to be the Rambam, is the Raisa explanation of what a tefillah is. You first praise Hashem, whoa, then you request from him, and then you think or admit that it comes from him.
I don't know, just judging from like the English translations of what I've read, and when I read the Seder in English, sometimes like it's majority, I feel like it's just like it's an organized way of communication. And I translate communication as either thanking, requesting, and praising. But I think it's majority praising.
Okay, majority praising. So then you're praising God. Why are you praising God? Make God feel better?
I think we're praising God to make ourselves, definitely not to make Hashem feel better, but it's to make ourselves more thankful for what he's doing for us and for what he means to us. So it's not like what we mean to him, it's what he means to us. And we have to keep like drilling that in every day. That makes sense.
Okay. So how does that accomplish that? By praising God?
Because if you praise something, I guess like so routinely, alright, I'm saying this, but this hasn't happened to me, so it sounds kind of hypocritical. Then it comes like second nature, I guess, that you become just more like aware of Hashem, and then that allows you to be more of a person that wants to do like more of Hashem things. And that really makes so much sense.
So like constantly thinking of God allows you to constantly praising God allows you to think of God.
Allows you to act more according to God, I think.
Okay.
I can't tell you that I've had that experience.
Got you. Okay.
But I can say objectively that if you were to ask me what is the role, what is that? I'd be
right. Okay. So what about people who pray for refuah? Pray for someone to get healthy. What are they doing? They're praying to God? Is that a praise? Is that a request?
That's more of a request.
Request. Okay. So first question, doesn't God know that this person's sick?
He does.
He does. Okay. So then,
maybe my merits are in this world are good enough to maybe postpone something, or maybe to delay it, or maybe even to get rid of something. I've learned about this concept in Gemara Tanis of like praying to Hashem, and then that prayer can be used to try and deduct the miracle, to deduct like if you can pray to Hashem for rain, which kind of changes the course of nature, then I feel like you can put that into anything.
Yeah, good system going. You can make that notebook.
So first and foremost, praying for rain. That's the first question. Don't take for granted praying for rain. You're saying just like praying for rain. What's praying for rain then? So it's like a credit card. It's like you have a certain amount of points that you're allowed to use, and you trade them around. God's like playing this little game here. Okay, that person's gonna get sick, but if one of these people who are praying for them gives me 5 of their points, it'll make them feel better.
Maybe if it's the type of person who's been acting according to the way of the world, or people in general, if they ask Hashem for mercy, maybe he won't cure the person, but he'll show us a clear sign of like not let the person suffer, whether either cure or like maybe bring a result. Maybe we're not praying for the person to feel better. We're praying for like, I guess this unclear process to end.
What's unclear? Someone's sick.
Like, let's say someone's sick. You either pray that Hashem make a decision, maybe. Or make a faster decision.
Well, isn't someone who's sick currently sick? The decision is they're already sick. Is it just death or life as opposed to sickness? Feeling better? I pray refrain. I pray for Hashem to heal many things. Sicknesses, wounds. You get hurt. It's not just death. Life or death.
I don't really understand some of their.
That's what we're doing today.
Okay.
That's exactly what we're doing
today. I'm like giving all these answers. Like, it's kind of as if I know a lot, but I really don't. Like,
okay. So I think the best way is to
understand.
Just to understand, but also to make us question what it is we're thinking about, right? Because that way we'll recognize how we're approaching it, and we'll recognize the preconceived notions we have, and then once we eliminate those, we'll be able to come with a fresh slate.
Sure.
Because not necessarily a fresh slate. So let's see if we can state any facts. Okay.
Okay.
So we stated one earlier. I think is a very important fact. Can't be overstated enough. God already knows this person's sick. God already knows this place needs rain, right? That's a fact we're accepting.
Yeah.
There's no preconceived. That's a preconceived notion we have, but we're accepting that we're keeping that. God already knows. Okay. So then, are we pleading and begging with God to change his mind? He already knows. Listen, I made Yankel over there sick, but now this person's making me feel bad for making Yankel sick because he's pleading, he's crying, he's davening. So now I'll make Yankel better. Is that what's happening when we pray to God?
No.
No, why not?
Hashem doesn't feel emotions.
Don't feel emotions.
He's a just God. He's not an emotional God.
He's a just God, but isn't he also a merciful God?
Well, I think just has bits of mercy and bits. I think I wouldn't say God is only merciful. I think when we say Hashem is just, it means that he does whatever it is right. You know, it could be considered merciful, it could be considered harsh, but like, he ultimately has the person. I don't know. I look at it more as just, not like merciful, not.
Okay, so he's just and not really merciful. Because just includes merciful, you're saying?
Yeah, just includes, you know, sometimes it's merciful, sometimes it's.
Okay.
He keeps things going.
So when a rich person lends 50 bucks to a poor person.
Yeah.
And then the poor person pays him back 50 bucks.
Okay.
Is that justice that's been played? Is that mercy that's been played?
Justice.
What if the rich person says, you know what? The 50 bucks, what you did with that, it was something great. No need to pay me back.
Merciful.
That's merciful. Is that justice?
No.
So those are two different things, right?
Yeah.
We'll get to that later in Tefillah.
Okay,
but
sure.
Those are two different things. So that's a question we have to ask. So number one, you were talking about God doesn't have emotions. That's a pasuk from Malachi. Let's go ahead. Read the first source.
First source says, "For I am the Lord. I have not changed, and you are the children of Jacob. You have not ceased to be."
Ki ani Hashem lo shaniti.
I have not changed.
Not changed.
I'm the same. I'm the same.
The same, always the same. So you and I, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're happy.
Exactly.
Sometimes we're angry.
We fluctuate,
move around. Not only that, parenthetically, I don't know if God's oneness is necessarily here, it's always good to mention. If God was sad, that would mean, at the very least, there's two aspects to him. There's God, there's the sadness, and they interplay with each other. God was only one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have emotions, he doesn't change. So we can't say, Pasuk says, Lo Shaniti, God doesn't change. We can't say God is doing something, causing Yankel to get sick. We say, oh God, please, please, please help him get better. God goes, oh, I'm so sad now because I feel bad now. Let me now make him get better. So that's not what he's doing.
Okay.
As you pointed out before, Pasuk, Malachi.
Doesn't change.
Doesn't change. That emotion doesn't change. So eliminating certain things is very important. So just parenthetically, that's, I think, what a large part of the Olam of the world really thinks, that you're bargaining with God, you're trying to say, God, I'll give you this, you give me that, you owe me, God, just feel better, you should feel guilty for making this person sick.
Yeah.
Like, there's no change instituted in God.
Yeah.
So that's not tefillah, that's not the Torah tefillah, that's not Chazal's form of tefillah. Even the Machlokes Rambam, Ramban, hold whether or not tefillah every day is deraisa derabanan. The Ramban, who holds it's only during times of need, would never say that it's changing God. According to everyone, there's a deraisa element of tefillah involved, whatever that is, and they would all agree that there's no such content. And certainly Chazal wouldn't create such content. God doesn't change.
Sure.
So now let me ask you the question. God doesn't change. But God knows all the facts.
What is tefillah?
What's it doing? And I just want to point out the second point, Ibn Ezra. It's everyone accepts this. I am God continually. I am Lord. I change not. It's not. There's no. It's not a metaphorical way to understand it.
Everyone accepts that that is the definition of that positive Gemara.
That I don't change. The first half. Yeah. I don't change. Meaning Hashem doesn't change. Hashem's one. Okay. So everyone accepts that. So that's in the in Ibn Ezra. You have that in the Mishnah Torah. That with regards to when the pasuk says, "Do they provoke me?" When it says the reactions of the Torah, I treat him justly, I treat him mercifully. It says, "The Lord, I am the Lord, I change not." If he could sometimes be angry and sometimes merciful, he'd be subject to changes. Indeed, such and all kindred attributes are not present in any save in darkened, lowly bodies, inhabitants. So they're present in us. The Mishnah, the Rambam points out what I pointed out earlier, that if he were to have emotions, that would mean he would change.
Yeah.
So this is something that's a fundamental point that everyone agrees on. When we have multiple beliefs, I'll bring it about.
He knows the facts, and he's not going to change his emotions. He doesn't have emotions.
He doesn't have emotions. He doesn't change.
Yeah.
If he had emotions, it means he would change. There'd be other problems, but... So the question is what is...
What are we doing?
So now, there's a parenthetical point that the Rambam pointed out. You pointed out before. God deals with us mercifully. He deals with us justly. They seem to be sort of attributes to God. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Shmos addresses the situation. It's a parenthetical point the Rambam brings up. You want to go ahead and read source number 4?
Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, Hashem is a man of war.
So that's an attribute, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is just a prototype of what it means when the Torah describes him as having an attribute.
This means that so too with the Midah aspect of mercy, he makes war, not that he changes because of this.
Right. So, please. So
Hashem is, and parts of he's a man of war, he creates war. It doesn't mean that that's part of his, that he is a war god.
Right.
But it's just part of him.
No, so not part of him. It means that the aspect in which he relates to the world, that's how people view it. God relates to the world, not that he changes. God, let me give you an instance. The rich man lends the poor man $50, right?
Yeah.
That itself is a merciful act.
Yes.
That he's lending money. Okay? So, the person is lending the money.
He's merciful.
He is merciful, but the act itself is a merciful act. Yeah. So, when we compare to God, we're saying the way God relates to the world, not that he's merciful, is that he does actions that to us seem merciful. That seems merciful. So that's where the metaphor ends. The acts. We don't know anything about God. We know negatives.
We know he acts merciful. He isn't merciful, hypothetically. Maybe he's not.
He's not merciful. He's not just. It's those. Those are quality assets. He acts in ways that we see that are merciful.
He acts more like he acts.
But that's not him. So that's where the metaphor ends. The rich man lending to the poor man.
Okay.
Lending the money is the act.
The king is merciful, but he's doing something that's... An act of mercy.
That is seen as merciful.
So maybe
seen
we can try and ask Hashem for an act of mercy. Even though we can't necessarily change his mind, but if he performs merciful acts, then maybe we can try and, like, I don't want to say convince him, but try and merit a merciful act. I don't know.
Okay. Is that another word to say convince?
Maybe. I don't know.
So let me ask you a question.
I guess I'm afraid to say convince.
Recognize what you're saying. So are you saying, so then he acts mercifully. How does it help us? Does it help us? Does it not help us? Doesn't God already says, hey, this person's getting sick. How is it up to us to change, quote unquote, change God's mind? What does that even mean? But also here in Yos, can't change his ways. And then also in addition to that, something else that some of the Olam thinks, Jewish world people, is that we, by davening, by doing mitzvos, God owes us. We've done something for
not
him.
Not true.
People don't think that.
No, I'm saying it's not. Like, that's like, I used to think that. I used to kind of like use it. It's like a ranking system. Like, if I learned this, you'll see if now an 83, not an 81.
Right.
But it's not true.
Right.
We do it to better understand him. We don't undo it in order to be like, say, like, pick me. Like,
so it's not something that we've done for God.
It's not numbers.
Have we helped God in any capacity?
No.
That's
maybe
a plus in you, fifth source.
Maybe we've helped generate more of him to the world, but I don't think we've helped him personally by doing anything.
Okay.
He can toss us aside, whatever he wants.
Right? Absolutely. Source number five, Eof. Top of the second page, behind the first page.
Eof says, if you are righteous, what do you give him? What does he receive from your hand?
He lacks nothing.
It's complete. Shall in.
Shalom, you can't give him $1,000.
No.
You're getting a korban. He created the animals. How is it something that you're doing? So we didn't change his mind. He already knows everything's happening, and we're not giving him anything.
Yeah.
It's like, for instance, a king. A king is very, very wealthy, right?
Yeah.
But you could still give him money. So if we were to compare God to the king, we'd say he has a lot of money. He has a lot of riches. So let's give him even more riches.
Yeah.
But the fact is, he himself created those riches. He can create whatever he wants. He doesn't need it. There's nothing lacking to him.
It's like you try to give the pizza owner some pizza. He has all the pizza you want. He doesn't want it. So you try to give him pizza.
Yeah. It's a useless venture.
Exactly.
But even for the human metaphor, you'll still give him more items.
No, but then on the flip side, you can say, like, what's the point of... What's the point of being righteous for us? So everything is for us, I guess. We're not supposed to embody Hashem. We're supposed to embody Hashem just for us.
You just answered the Ramban. You just explained the approach of the Ramban. The answer, or the Torah's answer, but the Ramban emphatically states your point. The Ramban on Pesukim in Dvarim 22:6, he says, what does it matter to God whether or not we eat a ritually slaughtered animal or not ritually slaughtered animal?
Yeah.
He says, the Ramban says this, do you benefit at all? Do you damage him at all? No. Just as that we know the truth and merit through it until we become fit and should protect us. As our speech, our memory of his wonders are considered nothing and void for him. There's no gain for him. It is all, as you pointed out, for us. So we don't change God's mind. God knows everything. We don't give anything to God.
And everything, so we don't change his mind. He knows all the facts. He knows what's going to happen. And everything that we do for him, all the mitzvot, everything, prayer, mitzvot, all for us.
Us, not him.
Not him. Okay. He doesn't care.
I didn't say that. What does that mean?
I didn't care, but it's not.
Well, yes and no.
It doesn't
change.
Benefit him. Benefits us.
So then what is tefillah?
Well, we talked about this act of mercy, and we're asking Hashem for us. Maybe we're doing it wrong. We're asking Hashem to help, ask him for an act of mercy that helps us benefit ourselves.
Okay.
I don't really know what I just said, but...
So repeat it.
We ask Hashem for him to give us an act of mercy to help us better understand our situation or to help us better benefit for ourselves. Maybe not necessarily curing that person, but maybe like, or maybe it is. Maybe curing that person can help benefit us. So Hashem's not changing his mind in the world, but he could be giving you, I guess, more to benefit from, because there is this concept of earning more benefits in this world. I don't know.
What? Don't abandon it. What? So, what are you accomplishing by davening versus not davening? Why can't God just give that to you?
Because you gotta ask for it.
What? We already know. Said God knows.
I learned
God
in Charm Tefillah, it said that you know, Avraham promised Yitzchak, I'll give you the, your, no, Hashem promised Avraham, your sons are going to be are going to be as many as the stars and the heavens and the moon. And so, you know, what's your shot? You know, Yitzchak, like crying, you know, like praying to God for Rivka to have a kid. It's Pasha, what do you mean? You know, he's going to, Avram's going to have descendants of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Why is Yitzchak going overboard? Of course he's going to have kids. Then, I mean, I think if someone says, like, no. Yitzchak didn't daven, he wouldn't have gotten it. In order, it's like, even if you merit something, even if something is, you know, in my bank, suppose, whatever, like dessert, that I deserve something, it's not going to happen unless I pray for it. So in a way that maybe Hashem has acts of mercy that we could possibly attain if we acquire a certain level of either merits or tefillah that shows us that we deserve, or maybe like Hashem throws in these acts of mercy, you know, not that he changes his mind, but he gives it to you because there is a concept of earning things in this world.
Okay, so that's beautiful, but you're missing the middle part. You got the end, you got the beginning. How does that work?
I don't know.
How does that accomplish that? Why does, you're saying that we, for some reason, we need to daven for something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first part. Middle part's missing. Second part, we daven, we get it. What is it, that middle part? What is it that we're doing? How is that accomplished that?
I don't know.
You pointed out, Pincus, I believe you quoted from, that without the tefillah, you wouldn't be able to merit it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to attain it.
Exactly.
So what is it that you're doing that you're attaining? What are you deserving? You already said before there's no point system. You already knocked out that Rapinkus earlier.
I don't know.
The understanding of that Rapinkus. Okay.
I'm honest. I'm not really sure.
No, I understand. Okay, so we're thinking this through. So God knows. God doesn't change his mind. And the mitzvahs are for us, not for God.
Yeah.
So by us being Mispala, we are recognizing that we are lacking something. We are deficient in something. And we are turning to the creator of the world, the Ribono Shel Olam, and asking him for something. If God were to just to give us everything, we would be lacking in a, not an appreciation, but a sense of reality of knowing where things come from.
Wait, can you repeat that? Sorry, I was
if someone's not, if someone's sick, right? Yeah. This is a very this is the approach of tefillah, but this is not an answer for each and every case of why someone's sick.
Okay. Yeah.
Chas v'shalom, that's the ways of, it's hard for us to understand, but those are the ways of God.
There's someone upstairs who has the perspective of, say, 5,000 years and billions, trillions of people, and I just have the perspective of me. So, like, okay. Someone who sees the world through the lens of that, obviously there's a greater understanding of why sickness or why this exists.
For sure. Okay. But with regards to our perspective of tefillah, what is it we're dominating for that person to get better? We are, when we're communicating with God, God already knows, but we're saying we need to improve. We need to better ourselves. Yes. We need to recognize a greater clarity of God's existence.
Yes.
And changing in our lives.
Yes.
So through tefillah, it's not that God's changing his mind. It's that we're changing. By being a spalal, and we are getting a closer connection to God, we say, we realize, were we nice today? Were we just today? Did they give us extra change from Starbucks and we pocket extra change? Did we see someone drop something and not say something? Did we hurt someone's feelings? When we, as Rav Samuel Nafal Hirsch talks about his spalal, is to self-reflect. When we do that, and we recognize where we're lacking, and we approach God to complete our lackness. That itself is an improvement to give you a greater sense of reality. If you're standing on the 10th floor and you jump out the window, you're going to get hurt. Why? Because of gravity. So the greater clarity you have in gravity, the greater you'll be in life.
Yeah.
If you walk out of the window on the first floor, you might think to yourself, wait, the 10th floor, first floor, the guy goes out the window, they die, might be for the first floor too. If you don't understand gravity, you're not going to be able to live your life properly. So to hear, by thinking that you are in control of everything, you're going to gain an arrogance that's not only bad character, it's a tremendous character flaw, it's against reality. That's why it's a character flaw.
Exactly.
So by recognizing your limits, you yourself change, and therefore you, what does that mean? You merit. God will now intervene. Why? Because of your greater good. God will help you in your endeavor. So before dominating,
these incentives for you to be better.
Not incentives. It's a consequence. It's God wants to send you someone wants. God is able to provide you something for your next journey in life. Now, if he sends it too early, you'll spoil yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
If he sends you money, you'll spend it on your vice. But if you've improved your vice and then he sends it to you, you'll spend it on your family. You'll spend it on food.
Yeah.
He'll send it at different times. So it's not God changing his mind. It's you yourself are changing and then are being worthy of it.
You yourself are changing and then being worthy of it. But then how does one become worthy? So there is a point system.
Not a point system, but there is a way that someone grows. And through
and
that...
You are rewarded in this world for growth.
Not necessarily rewarded. It's Mahalokis Rishonim. However, the Rambam holds that there's no reward in this world. He holds that God will help you be successful in
this
world.
So he won't reward you, but he'll give you an act of mercy.
So reward in the English word, yes. Reward in Skarv Onesh, not necessarily. Because there's Gemara, there's Rishonim,
Skarv Onesh, no.
Not necessarily. It's Mahalokis Rishonim. It's possibly Mahalokis Gemara's. With regards to, but at the very least, the Rambam was an extreme end of saying no Skarv Onesh in this world holds that for those who try to serve Hashem, Hashem helps them in this world to be able to perform those mitzvahs.
I think
not that it's a reward, but he helps them.
I can tell you a personal anecdote. I was doing I had to analyze this poem yesterday. I really wasn't down to do it, and I had no enthusiasm doing it, but just got it done. I don't know how I did it. I'm not really good at reading poetry, and I had to go to a Asian party. I don't know, 45 minutes later, I looked at my bed. I wake up. There's no way.
Okay.
So I think you're right. I think sometimes it's not that God changes his mind, but he helps you. But how would you relate that to this specific person situation of helping, of Hashem, you being worthy of being helped?
So the how we do it, that's next tefillah. The purpose of tefillah, that's next week, tefillah. This is the purpose of tefillah. So how do we do that? That's the question we end up with for next week.
How do we become worthy?
How do we become worthy? How do we prove ourselves? How does that accomplish it? So the purpose of tefillah, to change ourselves. How do we do it? That's next week.
To change ourselves.
Not change God, not to let God know something, but rather to change ourselves.
So when I'm davening brachos in the morning, shlomo sani goy, pokeach ivrim, I'm trying to change myself. My whole goal for davening is to be more aware of everything in the world.
To align yourself to reality, yeah. To recognize who's the one who gives eyesight. Who's the one who clothes people. Who's the one who provides oxygen. Provides materials to make clothing.
That's overall going to give me a more positive worldview, hypothetically.
It's going to align you closer with reality. You're going to recognize the truth. And that in itself is an internal, not an external, an internal, greater... fulfill a greater awareness, and as with regards to gravity, if you know how gravity works.
And do you think that with regards to Shabbos, the Yom Tovim, and were created in a way to give us a greater sense of, for us, obviously, give us a sense of truth. Shabbat is obviously says to recognize creation, or that things aren't all this fast moving, whatever, to stop. Or Yom Tov, whether it's Tu B'Shvat or Hanukkah or Purim, it's all there for us to recognize the truth.
That's the Ramban, man. You just quoted that Ramban. Only read before. It's all for us.
I gotta keep this.
Okay.
That's
so
great.
So we just end off today. Purpose of Tila, to change ourselves. How do we do that? That's for next week. Zagazan.